The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/cruiseradio, and give us a like.
At the end of this past May, Royal Caribbean's Grandeur of the Seas experienced a little fire on Deck 3. And since then, it has been repaired and is back in service. Nancy Schroeder from the Family Travel Network sailed upon Grandeur of the Seas, and we'll talk to her about that.
Also, we'll answer a listener question about Norwegian Breakaway. That's coming up later as well.
But first, Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guys here. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man.
Carnival starts a safety and reliability review board. They actually mentioned something like this at Cruise Shipping Miami this past March. Is this one in the same?
Yes, but let's just say it's a little more in-depth considering everything that has gone on. And sure as their word, they're ready to rock and roll with this new review board to ensure passenger and ship safety and comfort.
Well, there you go. Grand Cayman is seeing record low passenger numbers. What is this from? Because there seems to be a lot of ships in the Caribbean for 2013.
Well, Doug, as I've been saying for years, the numbers in Grand Cayman have been plummeting. And the simple reason for it is because the large ships, essentially most ships, are avoiding Grand Cayman because they don't have a cruise ship here.
Can they build one?
Well, that's been the big question. They've talked about it, but since the first time I went there in like 92, nothing's really changed, and it's just a horrible situation. They thought they'd be able to go indefinitely without being able to build the piers, but I mean the large cruise ships will not tender 4,000 to 5,000 people. It's just not going to happen, and Grand Cayman is being avoided en masse.
Very good. Carnival's Faster to the Fun program has rolled out on more ships. How many ships have it now, and do you think it's worth it?
Well, I guess it really depends on the person. If you're already a frequent guest of Carnival, then you get those perks essentially for free. But, $50 will kind of help expedite your boarding, which is, it is kind of nice. Gives you your priority dining reservations and priority tender access if there is a tender on your cruise. So it can make a bit of a difference. And, in Miami, you've got Imagination, Liberty, Glory, Breeze, and Victory. Canaveral's got three ships. Tampa has a couple. Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale's got one. So it's a good thing for people that want to really just kind of get on the ship and do everything humanly possible to bypass those lines because, that's probably the worst part of the whole cruise.
Yeah, I'd agree with
the boarding process. I mean, you've just flown, spent hours in line after line after line. You finally get to the ship. You think you're on vacation, and sure enough, there's another big line, and it's sticking. It's dragging right out the door.
Grandeur of the Seas is back in Baltimore. We'll hear a review of it coming up later on in the show. But do we know the cause of the fire yet, Stuart? Because also, let me ask you this: USA Today is reporting that there's still some areas unfinished on the ship.
Yep, and the area that's not finished yet is that South Pacific Lounge that was the area that we saw the picture of Adam Goldstein peering out those windows up on Deck 6 in the back. So that area is still off limits, and other than that, most of the ship is back in service. I know Baltimore was very excited to see her back, especially in light of Carnival announcing that they're pulling out.
Right.
But, the ship's in great shape, looks better today than it did when it was brand new 16 years ago. And unfortunately, it's amazing that it may have been a magnifying glass attached to the Hubble telescope or aliens that started the fire. But, 7 weeks later, they're claiming that there's still no cause for the fire on the moorings deck. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, someone knows what happened.
Yeah,
they've got to. Come on,
it's not rocket science.
Yeah,
and it's just I guess it's disturbing that it's taken this long. I mean, look, if someone was smoking and they put the lit cigarette on the lines while they did something else, okay. I mean, it's an accident; it happens. But to go 7 weeks, and I mean, they should have known in 30 seconds at looking at it.
Stuart, what's the latest on the Costa Concordia removal?
Well, it looks like they may be delayed. It looks like the companies, the folks involved are not getting along and not sharing information. So in order to ensure that you know, the weather and everything and all of the questions, the safety questions, are answered, they want to delay yet again and possibly move this into 2014. Unbelievable.
Wow, 2 years. Looks like Royal Caribbean is one step closer to securing financing for another Oasis-class ship. How much is this going to be financed for?
Well, what they did was the French credit agency has now, they've got this, they've secured financing of 100% of the ship. So essentially, they've got a loan amount guaranteed at $1.15 billion, and then you add in the other 20%, you know, which comes from the owners. So, you know, all said and done, this ship was probably going to be financed for about $1.5 billion. And she is scheduled for 2016. So, you know, this is just one step further from us getting the third Oasis class ship, you know, on the construction block.
Yeah, very cool. Regent Seven Seas Cruises ordered another cruise ship. So that should say something about the cruise market, right?
It does, especially the luxury market, which was the, you know, the segment of the industry that was hardest hit during the recent recession. You know, Frank Del Rio, who, you know, the head of Prestige Cruise Holdings, who's operating Regent and Oceania. I mean, phenomenal leadership, excellent financial results, and it's certainly very good timing. I mean, they're going to be building the Seven Seas Explorer. Look at that; they've already got the name,
right?
Seven Seas Explorer, and the ship will cost $450 million, and the passenger space ratio is just really in an unheard of level. I mean, they're going, it's going to be 54,000 tons for only 738 passengers.
Well, what is Regent usually charge, like, per stateroom, like $5,000 for a 7 day?
They tend to do longer cruises, Doug, mm-hmm. but you know, they can get $5,000 to $8,000. They're just doing extraordinarily well with their other three ships. And this ship, if you know, with, you know, again, Frank Del Rio at the helm, if it's anything even as good as Oceania's Marina or Riviera, this ship is going to be a stunner.
Very good. We have a listener question from Facebook. They write, I was checking into my flight the other day, and American Airlines asked if I wanted to purchase more air miles. Is purchasing airline miles actually worth it? I should note that I only fly domestically.
Well, I tell you no, because the cost of the miles is significantly more expensive than, you know, if you just went to the airline and booked it and essentially bought it yourself. I mean, I think the cost of these mileage offers are almost 3.5 cents when the miles are worth, you know, around 2 cents per mile. But I mean, they're just, it's just another income earning opportunity. There's trillions of miles that go unredeemed, and they're very happy to sell you 7,000 miles for $950 or whatever it is in your firstborn. And the answer is no. Just click no thanks and move on.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
Oh, Matt, it is such a pleasure, and I am so excited. This is so 201, and we're going on to cruise.
Yep.
201. Look at the coincidence.
Oh, eerie synchronicity. Can't wait to see you in Barcelona.
It'll be great. Look forward to seeing you guys.
On Sunshine.
See you, man.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? West, they have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being, and they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now, tripinsurance.com. Following the fire which broke out on the third deck of Royal Caribbean's Grandeur of the Seas back at the end of May this year, the ship is back in service, and Nancy Shredder from the Family Travel Network sailed on it recently. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, good to talk to you again.
How was embarkation?
Oh, embarkation was a breeze. It was so easy. We just, pretty much sailed right in there. We live right outside of the Washington, D.C. area, so arriving at the Maryland Cruise Terminal really was a breeze. We just came right up 95. And, you know, that's one of the great things about this ship and just the whole home port advantage is it's so easy to get to. That whole Baltimore cruise port is so easy for so many people coming from many different cities, and there's no high airfare costs and flight hassle, so I really loved it. We just came right into the cruise terminal and got right on the ship. It's important for people to know that there's not a ton of stuff right around the cruise terminal, so if you're thinking about picking up all sorts of stuff to take with you, that's not the kind of place that this is. So make sure to bring everything you want with you right on the ship.
Very cool. So you get on board this ship, and what were your first impressions of Grandeur of the Seas? And did it smell smoky or anything from the incident that happened in May?
You know, Doug, just watching the Twitter feed, that was absolutely the most talked about thing.
Yeah, sure.
Is it smoky? Does it smell smoky? And the answer is no, nothing at all. No smoke, not a zip, nothing anywhere. I went down to deck three. Deck three doesn't smell like smoke, even in the aft hallways. That area is the area that is most affected, you know, even still, but it does not smell like smoke. And my first impressions of the ship are it looks absolutely beautiful. The ship had a $48 million makeover before that, back last year, and, you know, before the May 27th fire. And, you know, it really looks lovely. Royal Caribbean added a lot of new features as part of the revitalization, and it really shows. When you walk in, this Centrum glass enclosed area is really lovely, and it gives you a really nice first impression of the ship. We can still see some of the crew working around on a few things, but, you know, all of the remaining fixes are expected to be finished by July 19th. And one of the things I really liked, too, was just the size of this particular ship. It feels really intimate, and then it's particularly elegant now that the revitalization has taken place.
How are the cabins?
Well, the cabins, our balcony cabin was really nice and comfy. There are flat-screen TVs in all the rooms now as part of the Grandeur of the Seas makeover. And the stateroom decor was updated as well, and it really showed. It was very pretty, and our staff, you know, waiting on our cabin was fantastic, too. We had a, you know, pretty regular balcony cabinet, but the Grandeur of the Seas has a lot of options now for people who want a little bit more space. And, you know, I took a look at some of those. The Royal Suite with the balcony is really huge. And there are also some family suites and family ocean view staterooms for, you know, families who just want to spread out and have a little bit of family room.
This ship has a lot of dining options. Did you get to try any of them? Hold on, let me retake that. This ship has a couple of specialty dining venues. Did you get to try any of them?
Yeah, actually we did. And, you know, this is one of the areas where I think the Grandeur of the Seas really shines. With the revitalization, there are a lot more dining options from which to choose. We had dinner at Giovanni's Table, and it was absolutely delicious. It's a family-style Italian trattoria type of place, and everything was super delish. If you go, don't miss the cannolis or the tiramisu at the end for dessert. They're really awesome. And then the other thing people really loved was the Park Cafe Gourmet Deli on this ship. Everybody really enjoys that. Didn't get a chance to try out Chops Grill Steakhouse, but that got rave reviews, as did the new Izumi Asian cuisine restaurant. There's also a chef's table experience, which we didn't get to try out, but that's a really, you know, intimate feel for people and has been getting good reviews in the past as well. And for people who really need their coffee and you know, specialty lattes, there's this new coffee Latitudes coffee spot in the Centrum, and that has, you know, great coffees and all sorts of little treats as well, which is which is wonderful.
How was the entertainment?
Well, you know, the entertainment was great. We didn't have a chance to experience everything, but a couple of things were real standouts. And I absolutely fell in love with this thing called the Centrum Experience. It's this spectacular aerial type of show performed in the central atrium. Sort of think of kind of like a Cirque du Soleil type of show in this sort of central glass enclosed atrium. And it's complete with music and beautiful costumes and special effects. It's really magical. I took some pictures of that I still am looking at, so don't miss it. And the other thing that's really cool is as part of their makeover, Royal Caribbean installed this huge poolside movie screen on the Grandeur of the Seas. And I think that's a fantastic thing for watching movies under the stars, you know, great for couples and for families as well.
Well, I was going to speak on that next, because since this was a shortened cruise, you didn't get to hit any ports, but how were the outside areas by the pool and such?
The outside areas are really nice. The pool area is expansive. There's lots of shaded areas for people who, you know, sort of want to stay out of the sun. And you know, speaking of shaded areas, one of my favorite places on the Grandeur of the Seas ship is the Solarium. It's this great adults-only spot that has a retractable glass roof and plushy loungers and two big, large whirlpools. And that's a really great place to be, especially for those who want to be in an adults-only space. But outside is definitely the place to be when you're going under the Francis Scott Key Bridge or under the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which is about 4.5 miles long. It's one of the coolest things ever. I really loved it. When you're going under the Francis Scott Key Bridge right outside of Baltimore, it looks like it's going to be this really tight fit, and you're sitting there, you know, outside and just thinking, oh, my gosh, are we going to hit? And then you just sail right through.
Nice.
And another good place to watch that is the Viking Crown Lounge. That has a 360-degree view, and it's great.
Nancy, we saw you tweet a lot of photos of the kids' program areas on board. Any comments on those?
Yeah, you know, Royal Caribbean's complimentary Adventure Ocean kids and teens programs, that's one of the real selling points of the cruise line and also certainly of this ship. Kids 3 to 11 and 12 to 17 had their own really decked-out special areas on the Grandeur of the Seas. I particularly like the expanded teen center and disco area. It is huge. And there are also parent-child Fisher-Price playgroups for kids 6 to 36 months of age as well. One of the things that Royal Caribbean added as part of their revitalization is this Royal Babies and Tots nursery on the Grandeur of the Seas. The ship was fitted with this special nursery for kids ages 6 to 36 months, and the room has specially designed Fisher-Price toys and activities as well as, you know, cribs for little kids. It's important to note that there's an hourly rate that applies to this program, so it's not complimentary like the others, and there's only space for 4 babies and tots at a time. So this is one of these places where parents definitely want to make their reservations for that nursery as early as possible.
Very cool. Any tips for traveling out of Baltimore or sailing on Grandeur of the Seas?
Well, yeah, if your schedule allows, definitely leave some time for exploring Baltimore. This city is called Charm City for a reason, and the place is a little treasure. It really will charm you. So take some time. If you can come in, you know, the day before, or even a couple days before, wander around the Inner Harbor waterfront area, explore Harbor Place with all of its great shops and restaurants, and while you're there, make sure to have some crab cakes. Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay are really known for their great lump meat crab cakes, not the kind with tons of filler. Some great places are LP Steamers or Duda's Tavern, Gertrude's, and Fadley Seafood. All of those have great lump meat crab cakes. Visit the National Aquarium. That has a really cool shark tank that I love to see. And some neat jellyfish exhibits. It's right there in the Inner Harbor area. Don't miss the Maryland Science Center, which is right over by Harbor Place as well. They have great IMAX theater movies, a wonderful planetarium, full-size dinosaurs, lots more. And if it's baseball season, you might get lucky and catch a ball game at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The other thing that people need to remember about where the Grandeur of the Seas is located is they're within an easy driving distance of Washington, D.C. It's really only an hour's drive away as long as there's no traffic problems, but it's also easy to get to D.C. by train. So, you know, if you're coming in, really do spend some extra time and take a look at some of the areas that are around the Grandeur of the Seas space And as I mentioned, don't miss watching the Grandeur of the Seas sail under the bridges. It's truly an awesome event.
Very good, Nancy. From the Family Travel Network, Nancy Schroeder.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you guys.
We always love getting listener questions. You can email comments at cruiseradio.net. This from Eugene in Toronto, Canada. He writes, "Hi, Matt and Doug. My question is about the balconies on the new Norwegian Breakaway. I read that they are very small. Can either of you guys comment? We're going to book the Norwegian Getaway out of Miami, but I already know the rooms will be the same. I hope they're not too small." He also says, "I was listening to Kevin Sheehan on another radio show, and he mentioned families will be able to Skype each other back home. I'm assuming he means from the ship, because you could always do that from a Wi-Fi cafe, etc. I hope so. That would be awesome. Thanks for the info, Eugene in Toronto." First, let's talk about the balconies.
I thought they were pretty small as well. They weren't nothing like the other ships out there. Yeah. It was definitely, you couldn't, both of us couldn't fit out there really, I don't want to say comfortably, but we couldn't both sprawl out up there.
Yeah. A little disappointing, not going to lie.
Yeah.
But other than that,
the ship was awesome.
Gorgeous ship. Love it. Perhaps one of my absolute new favorites. Mm-hmm. And I sail in so many of them.
Yeah, you do.
Now, regarding Kevin Sheehan's comment about using Skype on the ship.
Now, from what I took away from him whenever you interviewed him as well, is that families will be able to Skype back home, because a lot of cruise ships actually block the Skype, the FaceTime, all that stuff, because it pulls too much bandwidth. So what I'm understanding is that folks will be able to use Skype to talk to the folks back home.
They've, what, increased the
bandwidth? Because remember, we used the internet on that ship, and it was pretty blazing.
Yeah.
So
there you have it. Well, I hope that answered your question, Eugene. Again, you can always email comments at cruiseradio.net. That is going to do it. Don't forget to get our app. Search Cruise Radio Live in your smartphone app store. Free for iPhone users, only 99 cents for Droid.
Also, next week, we'll be aboard Carnival Sunshine. If you want to follow along on our Twitter or Instagram accounts, use hashtag CCL Sunshine.
From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
This is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is recorded weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Download the Cruise Radio app. Hear Cruise Radio on TuneIn Radio, the Stitcher Radio Network, the Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, CruiseAddicts.com, and on our website at CruiseRadio.net. Follow Cruise Radio on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr. For advertising opportunities, email sales at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.